Hi, I'm Tom Coffin, CEO and president and co-founder of Simply Reliable Incorporated. Welcome to the Smartpreneur Podcast. What's a smartpreneur, you might ask? Well, a smartpreneur, in our opinion, is someone that focuses on working on their business, not just in their business. And our Smartpreneur Podcasts are designed to bring you some relevant information each week about your business and different parts of that business. It could be marketing, it could be workflow, it could be labor, it could be business operations, many things that we'll talk about each week on the podcast. You can also check out our Smartpreneur blog at simplyreliable.com. And of course, our Smartpreneur podcast is brought to you by Simply Reliable, makers of Smart Office and Design Machine, the complete end-to-end solution for business process for systems integrators. So thanks for joining us today, and I hope you enjoy the show. This week on the Smartpreneur Podcast, our guest is Jason Sayin. Jason is the founder of I Am Sayin. Please welcome Jason Sayin. Hi, Jason. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tom. Yourself?
I'm fantastic, man. Appreciate you being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
Well, Smartpreneurs, we're blessed again today with our friend Jason Sayin from I Am Sayin. And Jason has a new blog out on the Smartpreneur blog this week. And we're going to dive in a little bit deeper and uncover some more meaning to the blog as we dive into our conversation. So, Jason, the title of this blog is "What Happens Next." So, what do you mean by that? What are you trying to get across here?
Yeah, it's kind of a vague question, right? You know, I find that a lot of companies don't quite have visibility into their operations, and so if landing a new client sets off a chain reaction of chaos inside of your company, then you really don't know what happens next, and that's not a good position for your employees because now they're just in reactive crisis management mode all the time. And so when you want to have rules in place so that they can manage exceptions and not be managed by them. And that starts by having good visibility into your internal operations process and be able to see how things are supposed to happen.
That makes sense. That makes sense. So in your blog, you talk about business documentation. And, you know, is it created because an employee made a mistake? And, or for some other reason, you know, what are you talking about there? What's driving that?
Yeah, so most businesses scale on the backs of ingrained homegrown processes. They just get built on the fly. And, you know, that's just how almost every business starts out, especially entrepreneurs, right? We're in the start with one person, everything's kind of in their head. And then as they grow, they try to transfer knowledge to the employees. And at some point, they see cracks in the foundation and mistakes start to happen. And they determine, well, we need a standard operating procedure or a checklist to prevent this problem from happening again. And so every time a problem happens, the cycle continues over and over and over again. And before you know it, you got a bunch of processes created ad hoc, sitting in Google Drive folders, collecting digital dust. And that's not the right approach. It's more of a Band-Aid. And at the end of the day, we're trying to improve bad habits and create new ones. That's really what processes are. And so there's a better way to attack it so it sticks with your employees and helps create accountability.
That's great. You know, when we did workflow drawings and things like that in my company, I know we you know, printed them out and we stuck them up in the back office where everybody could see them every day. I know you're working a lot with dealers. I see you on LinkedIn with, you know, going from sticky notes to a full drawing, which is pretty cool. Do you find that they're using that visual tool, that they're leaving that visual tool up somewhere where people see it all the time?
Yeah, a lot of them do. And my approach has always been to start with the visual because you can get a blueprint of your entire organization, and that's going to help you create what I call supporting documents, which is your SOPs and checklists. So there's continuity and uniformity. When you're just creating them ad hoc as problems arise, it's not really achieving your goal. And so that visual blueprint does a couple things. First of all, a lot of companies use it up, leave it up in their office and show it to clients so they can understand, like, here's how our project management process happens, instead of leaving it to a mystery. So it's a great sales tool. It becomes a great training tool. So imagine you hire a new PM and say, hey, let me show you how projects flow through our company and where your involvement is. And that's going to give them the opportunity to ask questions versus just bringing them in, throwing them on projects. And 6 months later, you see start to see these bad habits creep up. So it's a good training tool as well. And I've been doing a lot of work with my clients where we do what I call a project audit. So visualizing your work in progress is very challenging. Now, there's software out there that can do a good job with reporting and dashboards, but we do a fun exercise where we have employees write the names of projects on post-it notes and identify them on the map. And that creates engaging conversations, because now you can look at where the project's at by phase and by department and say, did everything that was supposed to happen prior to this point get done? Did we get our invoices paid for? Did we get our change orders, our documentation updated? And then you can start to look ahead at what you need to be prepared for. And then from the big picture, you can allocate your resources. You know, if you have 10 projects that just got signed and paid for and are about to start pre-wire, and you have another 10 projects that are in pre-wire, you're about to get overwhelmed, right? So that visual documentation can do so many things for an organization.
Absolutely. So when do you think a company, what's the best way to put this? When does a company know, you know, when it's really their time to get this documentation going? Is it based upon their size, their sales volume? You know, when do they really know when to get started with something like that?
Yeah, great question. And when I go to these conferences, I get asked that all the time. And it's interesting. I have clients that are 2 to 3 employees, and I have clients that are over 100. And they all come to work with me at different times, or choose to do this on their own. And I posted some content on LinkedIn about that this week, because when I go to conferences or get on Zoom calls, the common frustration I hear is we've outgrown our processes, right? And that's what happens when growth outpaces operations. So that can happen as you're adding employees at a different size. It can happen as you go from 1 million to 2 million. There are certainly pain points along the way, but some companies set themselves up for success a little bit sooner than others. So that growth outpacing operations, or when sales becomes a burden on operations, that's really kind of the sign. You know, when you start to notice that some of the problems you've always had have gotten worse as sales increases, that's a really big sign. And so then, you know, reactive crisis management is now a new task list. So instead of employees having tasks of what their everyday jobs are or tasks associated with a project, their task list is reacting to a crisis, right? That's a big red flag. Maybe employees are operating in silos and there's not really accountability. Approvals and information become bottlenecks because it's, you know, tied to like the owner or manager. And then sometimes software makes the problems worse, right? We might start off with just different pieces of software, but at some point that software creates friction. And I'm sure you see this all the time, because that's your solution, right? Software is a tool to make your process more efficient. But if the underlying problem is a lack of process because of the growth, then it's just going to create more problems.
Yeah, exactly. Well, great, Jason, that was fantastic. Smartpreneurs, if you get a moment, head on over to simplereliable.com and click on resources, and you'll see the Smartpreneur blog there, as well as other podcasts like today's podcast. And you can read Jason's latest blog there, as well as a bunch of others. And I hope you all got something out of this. Jason, it occurs to me, we've certainly offered this a lot, and I think a lot of people have taken you up on it. If someone wants to get a hold of you and maybe dive into their business and go through your process creation, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, so they can go to my website, which is iamsan.com, and fill out the contact us form, where you can reach out to me direct at jason@iamsan.com, and we can set up a call.
Fantastic. Well, Jason, again, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Tom.
Absolutely. Smartpreneurs, we'll see you again in the next episode of Smartpreneur Podcast. Easy for me to say. See you again for the next Smartpreneur Podcast. Join us and check out some great learnings. Have a great week.